most of us would have been pushing the nursing station call button, she drafted a major speech. She even participated in Supreme Court oral arguments from her hospital bed. In fact, it was so much more than her repeated resurgence in the face of illness. For nearly 50 years, Ruth and I had knit ourselves ever more tightly into the fabric of each other's lives. Aside from my two sisters and my National Public Radio sisters, she was my longest-serving friend. She was loyal, clear-eyed, and deadpan funny. Although she enjoyed becoming an icon in her 80s, she enjoyed far more watching other people perform. Still, she and I performed well together. I've lost count of all the times that I interviewed her on stage. It helped that we were personal friends long before our professional lives propelled us into the spotlight. We first met over the phone in 1971. Ruth was a law professor in New Jersey. I was a print reporter. National Public Radio was in my future, but I would not be hired there for another 4 years, and nearly 22 years would pass before Ruth was appointed to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. Through everything, we could and did keep our boundaries. The irony is that while work introduced us and work has defined each of us in her own way, our friendship was never about work. I can only recall one time when Ruth pleaded with me not to ask her a question on a particular topic. In reply, I told her, "I'm sorry, I have to, it's my job." And conversely, only one time when I said in frustration, "But Ruth, why didn't you tell me that when I asked? It's news." Instead, our friendship worked because we held each other in the highest regard. From the start, we sensed just how hard the other had fought to climb the ladder to get where she was. We shared a passion for music, opera, shopping, I more than she, and food, especially food prepared by far better cooks than we were, and a steady stream of good stories, jokes, and bits of gossip. We were both eager questioners, although with slightly different ends. I like asking questions to get information. Ruth liked asking questions to place an answer in a different light. These traits were the easy parts. The bedrock of true, solid friendship is being there for the hard things. And there, our foundational rocks were sure and strong. Each of us saw the other through great personal joys and also deep personal sadness, through illness, loss, and widowhood. During the long and devastating illness and eventual death of my first husband, Ruth was there to draw me out of my isolation and grief. 12 years later, I would sadly be able to reciprocate her kindness when her beloved husband Marty died. When I remarried, she was the one who officiated at my second wedding to my husband David, overseeing a joyous ceremony that she scripted down to the, quote, spontaneous jokes. She never let on until the end of dinner that she'd been in the hospital the day before. She had forbidden Marty to tell me. Throughout her final years, David and I were able to wine and dine her to keep her spirits up, particularly after COVID-19 struck. We shared so many small dinners together that Saturdays became reserved for Ruth. Bouillabaisse, the light French fish stew, was her favorite, and David made it magnificently, adapting his version from Julia Child's recipe. The last time I saw Ruth, it was for supper. Ruth didn't teach me everything about friendship. I've had other wonderful teachers, expected and unexpected. All of them have taught me that friendship is precious, that it involves showing up, that it involves supporting and helping, that it's not always about the grand gesture, but rather about the small one. It's about extending the invitation, making space at the table, picking up the phone, and also remembering. Friendship is what cushions life's worst blows and what rejoices in life's hoped-for blessings. It can sometimes be as simple as a hug when the hug matters most. Ruth's husband died at the very end of the Supreme Court term on June 27, 2010.